I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
Are you at peace? Nah, no, you're not. You wish. If you think you are, how are you sure? Are you sure that you're at peace? And do you even know what that really means? Because it's not just Christmas carols that make peace a big part of Christmas. It is the Christmas scriptures that put peace at the center of the story. Like the one that I think we all know, right? When the angel announced Jesus' birth to the shepherds, comes down and says, "You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And then suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men," right?
Yep.
Yeah, now that's Christmas. Right? That's classic Christmas. Peace on earth and goodwill toward men. Our Savior was born to end all of our battles by bringing us peace. Right? Right? Right, Jesus? Well, here's what Jesus has to say. "Do you think that I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division." "But I thought the angel just said that there was peace." And he says, "Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." Oh, okay. Well, that's kind of a bummer. That's kind of a bummer, because if sweet little old baby Jesus that we're all used to, sweet little baby Jesus actually came to stir things up, that kind of changes the vibe of all of our Christmas cards. Because that's a whole lot different than the way I'm picturing it. And if his birth marked the beginning of a battle, well, I guess the question is, which one? And who are we fighting with? Because this is just, you know, it's not what we talk about normally. Well, so fortunately, when Mary and Joe took baby Jesus to the temple for his baby blessing, the Spirit moved a guy named Simeon to come and share some of his insight that made it into Scripture. And this is what he says. He says, this child that you're holding right here is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel. And to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And also a sword will pierce your own soul too. And that just makes sense, because when Jesus was born, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we know that the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged what?
Sword,
right? To penetrate, and it penetrates to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow, which is just what he said. He's going to show us what's inside of us. So whether the word is bound in a book or born as a baby, it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Okay, that's what's going on here. Because you see, just like the Bible, how we handle Jesus reveals what we have in our hearts. Because the truth is, in the end, Jesus didn't just come to save us, but to teach us that we need saving. Right? A lot of us, that's a big problem. We don't even think that we need it. But he came from the other side to show us what side we're really on, so that we could make sure that we are on the winning team before the battle ends. That's where you want to be. And so, just by being born into this world, that's all that it took, just by being born into this world, Jesus helped us see three things that our heart needs to know to be saved. And here they are. This is what we're talking about this morning. Number one, we all need to know, we're at war. It's true. We're at war. Number two, we're on the wrong side. And number three, surrender means victory. Okay, so that all starts, of course, at the beginning, where he makes us aware that we are at war. And all that really takes, it's so simple, all that took was a visitor from the other side, just somebody else from the other camp showing up, because conflict is revealed whenever opposition nears, you know? I get along really well with people I'm never around. I don't know if that's true of you, but I have the best relationships with people who I've never spoken to. But it's true. It is so easy to think that we're easygoing until the going gets tough and our choices get challenged. And I've noticed that this is why so many marriages fail these days. Because we can pretend that everything is perfect as long as we can control our personal space. But the closer you get, the closer you get when intimacy allows an outsider into the heart of our camp, well, we have to compromise our will to accommodate their will and them's fighting words. Nobody wants to do that. I want what I want. It is so hard to make room for what somebody else wants. And so, similarly, in the exact same way, it is very easy to think that we get along with God until he invades our personal space to reveal that we don't really want to accommodate his will. You know, it sounds good. And he's like, okay, well, then just do this. And we go, well, I didn't know I had to do stuff. I just wanted to say words, you know. And when Jesus was born into humanity, we were essentially asked to accommodate perfect love and truth, which just revealed we were opposed to it, which is so sad, but we are opposed to that perfection because, as Scripture tells us, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of that light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light. Right? And will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. Don't look at me, you know? It's so bizarre. It's so true. We have a saying down here that I'm sure you've all said at some point in your life. And here's how the saying goes. The truth hurts. What an awful expression, right? The truth hurts? Because that is just nuts. That is nuts that we all kind of accept that as reality, because what it really means is that on the whole, we're at odds with what is right. We're on the wrong side there. We're at odds with what is right, and yet it is very true. We know that it is true, because if you think about those times when truth has come into your life and it's kind of gotten real close to you, well, we try to refute it. You know, go against it, or we revise it, we give it a little caveat, or we just refuse it altogether. I don't want to hear it. Because down here, well, the truth convicts us, or it corrects us, or it condemns us. And we don't like any of those things. We just like being right and comfortable. And so those three things, those are just plain painful to a person who is trying to pretend that they're already on the good guy's side. I don't want to be convicted. I just want to believe what I want to believe. But remember, this is why Jesus came. He already told us. Jesus came to be a sign that will be spoken against. Why? So that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. He wants you to see what you got going on in there. And by going against the only one from the good guy's side, when Jesus came here, he's like, hey, I'm the only one from the good guy's side. That was meant to teach a very hard truth to some very hard hearts. Something that we did not want to hear, but we're told, don't you know? Don't you know that friendship with the world down here, this side, means enmity against God? Oh, that's unfortunate. And just by entering this world, just by coming here, being born as a baby, Jesus made us admit that the human heart in its natural state is opposed to God. We were not very welcoming. We killed him. Because the mere presence of his true righteousness in our world, like coming close to us and putting that righteousness right up against us where we could see and feel it, it revealed the prevailing feeling wasn't just opposition, but violent aggression. We're against it. Like Paul says it very simply. He says, the mind governed by the flesh, you know, down here, the mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It's not like we just don't get along. It's actually hostile toward God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it even do so. And to just put a fine point on that, we all know how the whole Christmas story starts off, right? Hey, you know, the king is going to be born. It's going to be great. And it's over here. And they show up and talk to Herod. And Herod went on a genocidal rampage in response to just a rumor of baby Jesus threatening his power. Like, let's just wipe him out. Because the reality is this, as much as we don't want to say it, we are all at war with God. Oh, and it just feels so wrong to say, but we need to know it. We are at war with God because it is our sin that separates the two sides. Our side kind of has a soft spot for sin, while God's side gives it a hard no. No sin allowed. So making us admit that we're at war is just step one, though, however. Just step one of God's battle plan. Next, the next step is he wants us to defect. He wants us to switch sides. Because the birth of Jesus didn't just reveal that we are at war with God. It showed us that we're on the wrong side. As if you needed to really figure that one out. If you're against God, just spoiler alert, you're on the wrong side. And this one is just embarrassingly easy to know. We should have just figured it out right away. But we're still very self-righteous a lot of the time. But if truth rubs us the wrong way, it should be obvious that we're on the wrong team, right? You get that? If something good, if you're like, oh, here comes another good thing, you're on the wrong side. Righteousness is on his side, right? You get that? He's righteousness and goodness, which means any opposition is wrongness, all right? There's righteousness and then there's wrongness. Even the word doesn't make sense. That's us. We're like, yay, wrongness. And that's why the Pharisees had such a hard time finding Jesus guilty. Because all of his actions and all of his words were helpful. And they were healing. And they were holy. And that kind of irrefutable evidence sure makes it hard to condemn him and hold on to a belief that we are the good guys. But he was exposing our heart. We said, no, he's the problem. They're like, there's that line where he says, for which of my miracles are you, you know, killing me for? And you're like, oh, man, he's good. He's good. We're the bad guys. And once again, this is all by design. Because to get us to change our allegiance, to get us on his winning side first, he had to challenge our confidence in our goodness. He had to make us start questioning, am I on the right side? Am I the bad guys? By the way, read your Bible with that thought. Am I the bad guys? It reads way different, and it's way more accurate. But all that it takes to get you to question whether or not you're on the good side, all that it takes is showing us a better, more believable truth. And it's funny. I learned this. I heard this in the past, and I read about it this week, and I just absolutely love it. This is actually a very popular war tactic, just showing the truth, just telling people what the actual truth is. Have you ever heard of leaflet bombs? No? I don't. Somebody in first service has some. They said, oh, I was over in Saudi Arabia, I think they said. He said, you have them. They have these that they're bomb all over the... Anyway, I'll tell you what they are. These leaflet bombs, they are bombs that are filled with information that is aimed at changing the enemy's perspective, you know, to try and change their heart, to try and get them to defect before another battle, you know. Hey, we're coming to blow things up. Are you sure you want to be on that side? Because that side is not the right side. And we did this all the time in World War II to the Germans because we were like, just so you know, you're not the good guys. You are the bad guys, and we are going to blow you up. And so in World War II, all the time, we tried to tell the Germans what an untrustable monster Hitler really was and the atrocities that were really going on because, you know, in Germany, Hitler's like, we're number one, we're doing great, and I'm a good guy. And we're, you know, and we're like, no, he isn't. No, he isn't. So these were literally truth bombs. And I love that idea. We dropped truth bombs all over Germany and all over Europe and Russia. And these truth bombs that were meant to set them straight, to make them question whether they were on the right side, they were actually effective enough that the Germans tried to counter with some of their own truth bombs. However, I love this because I read a few of them, and I think it's really easy to tell who has real truth on their side when you can see each of their approach. So, for example, a very popular German leaflet that was dropped all over Allied troops showed a passionate couple kissing, you know, to try and get us to quit the war. And it just, here's what it said on it. It said, "Farewell! Remember her last kiss? Oh, gee, you were happy then. Together you spent marvelous times, lounging on beaches, dancing, enjoying parties galore, and listening to the tunes of your favorite band." Does that make you want to quit your side? You're like, well, sure, but that doesn't mean we're the bad guys. Whereas one of the more effective Allied leaflets that we dropped on the Germans had no words whatsoever, but simply depicted a large open field with thousands of German graves. Boom, right? That's a truth bomb. Because real truth is revealed by reality, not rhetoric, right? You can't talk something into being true. It just is or it isn't. And then what I love so much about this, which is what just seals the deal, and I went back and I looked at this, and, you know, propaganda's propaganda. I was like, oh, surely, you know, the U.S., we fudged some of that stuff. You look at it, we actually were pretty good. Most of our stuff was all 100% true. And in addition to the truth that we dropped on them, we also added these surrender passes. These surrender passes that promised safety to anyone who was willing to switch sides. And so here's what's so crazy. I love this so much. Although just possessing one of these passes was punishable by death in the German army, 77% of all Germans who surrendered had one of these on them. Oh. They knew the truth when they saw it, right? They knew it. They knew it. And I guess deep down, we can all recognize who the good guys are by mercy and grace. Amen? Amen. Amen. I mean, come on. You know it. You know what truth feels like. You know it when you see it. And which this is exactly why this same tactic, this, you know, dropping truth bombs, this worked for Jesus too. This is God's good side. Because Christmas wasn't just about bringing God's Son into the world as a sacrifice. That's not all of it. Jesus' incarnation was God's invasion. This is Him coming into the enemy camp. Baby Jesus was the biggest truth bomb ever dropped on humanity. That's a real picture. This is the new nativity we're going to put out in front of the church. No. Yeah. It'll be the last nativity we ever put in front of the church. No. Yeah. No, but this is it. That's what Jesus was. He was the Word dropped into our world to let us know that we are on the wrong side. After God papered our whole planet with His Word for thousands of years, right? That's what the Bible was. It was just saying, you're messing up, you're messing up. Here's what's good, here's what's bad. This is what's going on. For a few thousand years, God finally decided to just go nuclear by packing all of His goodness and truth into Jesus to make His Word flesh. And just like the Allies' airborne leaflets, God's newborn truth bomb promised peace to those who were willing to risk leaving the lies of their old side to come join the good guys. You know, those surrender passes said, if you are willing to surrender, we will take you immediately out of the war and we'll put you somewhere else and keep you safe so that, you know, you won't be harmed. So just come be a part of the good guys. And boy, that's exactly what Jesus is saying. In fact, Jesus said, well, peace I leave with you, right? My peace I give you. But I do not give as, you know, your old side, the world, gives. So you don't got to worry about it. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid, because just, you know, keep your eyes on me. He says, you will leave me all alone. So I know what this is going to feel like. Yet I want you to see that I am not alone. For my Father is with me, says Jesus. I'm never alone. I've told you all these things so that in me you may have peace. You look at Jesus and you see what He's doing. In me you may have peace. Because when you join the good guys in this world, you will have trouble. Jesus wants to make that clear. Look, you turn on the world, and the world's going to turn on you. In this world, you will have trouble when you join the good guys. But take heart. I have overcome the world. We're the good guys. We win. And the good news is I've overcome the world, which means you can too. And so our confidence comes from witnessing his conquest. That's why he came. We get to see that. We get to see that it actually works. Jesus came into enemy territory, ruled by sin. And he came here alone and outnumbered as a vulnerable baby. That's one baby against the billions of humans. Just to show us what kind of courage we should have once we've made peace with the right side. A baby wins against the world. Know that. You're doing all right if you're on the right side. And he wants us to see that because he knows how tempting this world's sinful propaganda can be, right? Like, it is so hard sometimes. You're like, yeah, that does seem like the right one, but, you know, there's so much down here that makes me believe that I should stay here, because after all, who doesn't love beaches and dancing and parties galore, right? And that's what this place promises. It's like, we've got more tunes from your favorite band. But he proved, he did this all, he proved the power of his truth. He proved that it prevails even in the most humble human, so that each one of us can be completely confident that, number three, our surrender means victory. You know, he came and surrendered himself, made himself of no reputation, took on the form of a lowly servant, just made himself nothing, emptied himself completely to just show that in the most humble from the other side still wins against this entire world. And that should just make us so courageous. And so by personally coming and walking that path from newly born to eternally alive, Jesus proved that his surrender passes have the power to ultimately lead anyone to the safety of the winning side. We can just know that for a fact. He showed us that. Because just like Luke says, Jesus came here to guide our feet into the path of peace. You get that? See, that's not the, I'm just doling out peace, not the Oprah. You get peace and you get peace and you get peace. No, he's guiding our feet into the path of peace that he laid out for us to follow. Just showing us, here's how you get to the right side. Because God is the one who wants peace. We got to make sure we understand. God wants peace. It is us who have to really work on maintaining our allegiance. You know, like we're told, you, God will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. We know that. God promises that. Okay, and so, leaving the losing team does, yes, in fact, mean joining the one who's winning. That is the great news, right? So, surrender means victory. You leave the losing team, you join the winning team. But, here's what you gotta know. You gotta get this last part through your head. We have to fully defect before we can join team perfect. All right? We have to be completely out. You cannot play both sides. No double-minded double agents who still want the enemy's approval. You got to separate from the world completely. You know, we just did the whole Great Divorce series. You cannot have heaven with a little hell in it. You can't have hell with a little heaven in it. There's just, it's one or the other. So you got to separate from this world. Because contrary to the common Christmas thought, which you hear all over the place, you see it in those Christmas cards and everything, all over the place, the way that people talk, the common Christmas thought is that, you know, hey, everybody, peace on earth, goodwill toward men, we all win, everything's great. But no, God's peace is only for his trusted allies. I hate it when I have to say things that just sound so miserable. God doesn't openly offer peace on earth and goodwill toward men. What a sad thing I have to say. But this is true. We need to know it. God does not openly offer peace on earth and goodwill toward men. In fact, we hear that, and it's like in some of our Christmas carols, it's actually a mistranslation. It's a mistranslation that nearly every Bible has changed to something more like the way that the NIV puts it, which is, this is how it should read. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. Just doesn't have the same ring to it, though, does it, right? Peace to some of you. You know, peace to those on whom his favor rests. But just to be clear, James lays it out, because this is still the best news you'll ever hear. James lays it out, and he says, well, right, because God opposes the proud. That's who he's against. But he shows favor to the humble. So it's simple. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Because turns out, the heavenly host that are singing to those shepherds, the heavenly hosts are declaring peace to those who God has made peace with. Because he shows favor to the humble who have surrendered themselves to his side. And so if that's you, great news. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith by surrendering to him, we have peace with God, not just peace from God. We have peace with God. That's the big news through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we get, peace with God. We're not going against the biggest enemy of all time anymore. So hearing that, I want to ask you again, are you at peace? Are you at peace? Have you completely committed to God's side by completely surrendering everything on this side? Have you given up this world? It's tough. It is a tough one. It's one of those things because, like he said, he needs to reveal what's in our heart, because we can think that we have. We can think I'm on the right side, but sometimes you got to see it. He needs to make you see where your heart really is. And here's one of those great ways to do it. If you have completely surrendered, if you are looking past this place, well, then when you walk around, you should see this whole world as enemy territory. This is enemy territory. This is the place where sin can exist, and we don't like it. We need to see it as enemy territory, just like Jesus did. And just like him, you shouldn't worry about what the world thinks, because you should know without a doubt that the approval of a losing side is a bad thing. All right? You understand that? There's certain things, like, you know how you, like, if you don't want Hitler's endorsement, you don't want Hitler goes, "This is my guy," and I'm like, "Shut up, you're not doing me any favors." There's some things like, I don't want your approval. We only want the approval of the right side. We should be so loyal to truth that we can confidently conquer any worry of this world, that it just means nothing to us. And you know what? I saw this in action. It was the most spectacular thing I've ever seen. I mean, a little hyperbole there, but I mean, it was a really great thing. It was a few months ago, and I stood in line behind an elderly man at a very busy Rite Aid who was returning a pack of adult diapers. Okay, set that scene. It's a busy Rite Aid. And as he loudly argued with the lady at the register, I thought to myself, this guy is my hero. This guy is incredible, because he didn't give two shakes what the world thought. He was totally focused on what was right. And as he declared to the whole store, "These things are barely more absorbent than a pair of jeans." And I just wanted to slow clap him. I'm like, "You go, man." And so even when the clerk calmly said, you could tell she was trying to like bring it down and be like, sir, you've already used half of the bag. And so he just replied, "Exactly. I wouldn't be burning through them if they were any good." And I just stood in awe. I went, "Wow, this guy. We could all be, oh man," because I was like, he's not even embarrassed. He wanted to be like, "Right, guys?" And I would have been like, "Let's march. Let's go down to," because he was just, I was like, let's give him, who cares about this place? And I don't know if his confidence came from faith, but either way, we should all aspire to be so free from earthly opinions. Amen? Amen. Imagine that. Just having that confidence to say, yeah, whatever, but come on. I'm all for what's right. Because it takes earthly humility to erase our heavenly hostility. Remember, we are hostile toward God. The only way is to just let go of this place completely. And just like Paul commands, he says, do not be anxious about anything down here. Why? You know, what can this place do to you? Do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, even if you're at Rite Aid, whatever it is, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God that comes from that peace with God, which transcends understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. Boy, that is huge. You get to let go of all that stuff when you let go of this world, because all of those what if worries, right? What if this happens? What if? All of the what if worries only exist in this world. And once we make peace with God, we can look past this world. We can look past it all, and we can see what is true. And when we do that, none of this matters. We need that perspective. It is so empowering, and it is how you get that victory. And this is something I recently just learned. This is something that Henry Wadsworth Longfellow learned. Do you know who Henry Wadsworth Longfellow is? He's the poet with the most fun name to say, right? Like, that's a great... Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. He learned this, though, after his son was nearly paralyzed in the Civil War. It was one of those tragic things, because war is just awful, right? It is just awful, and it just shows all the awfulness that's going on down here. And so when his son was nearly paralyzed, this poet had this moment of looking around, and he had great faith, but he was looking around, and he was looking at the whole world, and he was looking at his own country that is all supposed to be together. And he struggled, and he fought to understand how God had promised peace. You know, had a little crisis of faith. Peace on earth, where, you know? And he said he was struggling with it, and he had all these, this, you know, why, God, why is this happening? How is all this stuff happening if you're really in charge? And then he said, one day it just clicked. And in that day, he wrote a poem, and he wrote the words that later became the Christmas carol, "I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day." You know that one? "I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day." Bruce has been trying to get me and him to do a duet of that song for years, and I've said no, but it's coming one of these years, so just you watch out. You got to come to the Christmas service because you don't want to miss it when it happens, because we're wearing tuxes, and I don't know. I haven't decided yet. Anyway, but "I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day." He wrote this in response to that feeling that we're talking about here, and when you listen to it, It plays in our bathroom. And every time this week I went to the bathroom and it was on, I went, "I get it, Lord, I get it. But it ends with this faithful reminder that I think is just so powerful. And here's the last two stanzas of the poem turned into the Christmas carol. He says, "And in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. But then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill toward men." Because here is the bottom line, guys. God has got everything under control. You may not feel like it. You don't get to see it, but God has got everything under control. And if you are on his side, he has got you too. So as this Christmas season, as this Christmas chaos comes, I implore you, I say, don't settle for these shallow wishes of peace on earth, right? No, just peace on earth, goodwill toward. No more of those wishing, these shallow ideas, but instead pursue the real rest of peace with God. Because Jesus came at Christmas to conquer our hearts by telling us, by dropping this truth bomb, "You don't have to fight me anymore. Surrender, and I'll fight for you, and we're going to win." Amen? Amen? Amen. Let's pray, guys. Father God, we love you, and we trust your command as the righteous truth that leads us to eternal life. Holy Spirit, we just ask that you use all of our lives to show us that, one, we are at war, we're on the wrong side, and we need to see where it is that we still need to surrender. And Lord Jesus, we praise you for coming into enemy territory, behind those enemy lines, to teach us that humility that leads us away from the worry of this world and into that peaceful rest of your victory. And to that, every single person said, Amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.